Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's talk about today specifically, Joe, and handing the ball over to a guy that was 14-6 with a 3.34 ERA during the season. But it's not that. I love the fact that he's been here. He's done this in these big moments. Last year, we went into this series with Soroka and Fried, and we were keeping our fingers crossed that Ian Anderson was going to be great, and he was. I don't have to worry about that, handing the ball to Charlie Morton, do I?
No, absolutely. You're totally right, Carl. I mean, he's a guy who has been in the biggest moments possible in the game, in the sport. And I think that when you hear him talk, you can really sense that from him, that he feels a certain kind of comfort in this moment. And actually, I think that, like, he wants the ball in this exact kind of situation. And that's exactly the reason you go out and you get a guy like Charlie Morton, that kind of veteran to anchor your staff. You know, we talk a lot about, this has been kind of a profile of pitcher that Alex Anthopoulos has wanted to sign really for the last several years. It started with Dallas Keuchel back in 2019, who they picked up in free agency. Then they got Cole Hamels. That one obviously didn't work out as well. But I think that what you get in a guy like Charlie Morton today is just that experience, that moxie. The moment's not going to be too big for him. And I think those are the reasons why the Braves have the utmost comfort in handing him the ball during this critical game three.
Yeah, man, we were debating about, should you get Charlie out there on Sunday night versus, Ian. I think Ian just didn't have his fastball or whatever it was missing, but he'll get it back. Mm-hmm. Is the Freddie thing a thing? Because obviously Freddie's home run swing gets us where we are, but a lot of strikeouts in the first two games against the Dodgers.
Yeah, it is. And obviously, I'm sure everybody heard it was a career high for him, or tied a career high, the seven consecutive strikeouts. Of course, the last time he'd had those seven consecutive strikeouts, that was back in 2016. He ended up hitting like 1.1 OPS the rest of the season. Was absolutely incredible after that. So clearly at that point, it wasn't anything that was like some permanent, issue with him. But this one, just seeing it happen, it is concerning to me. It just seems like he's whiffing on pitches that normally he just never does. Like, I've seen, there was one like 94 mile an hour fastball out over the plate that he was swinging at, and he just completely missed it. And that's just not the MO of Freddie Freeman. He has such great bat control. You at least expect him to be fouling these pitches off and things like that. It's the swings and misses that really concern me, and the fact that he's just kind of not close, honestly, on some of them. So having said all that, he is Freddie Freeman, and I think that nobody will be more determined than him to try to turn this thing around. And if you're the Braves, I think that's one of the reasons you got to feel so happy with these two wins in the first two games, is the fact that you did it without that production from Freddie Freeman. I mean, guys, if you were to have been told that Freddie Freeman was going to start out the series like this, that Ian Anderson was only going to go three games in game two, or three innings in game two, all these things, you would say the Braves, no way are they 2-0. They're probably 1-1 at best. But then, you've got a two-game lead, so you got to be really happy with where you're at. And I think you just got to have faith that Freddie's going to figure it out. Maybe he'll get some tips from Dad, being back home in California.
Let's hope so.
Well, remember, Carl, he went through that stretch. What was that stretch, Carl, like in August, in July, where he didn't like not make contact in like some 20-some-odd at-bats? There was some crazy stat, right, where Freddie was not even missing, period. Every time he swung, he was either making contact or fouling it off.
That's when he got hot. I mean, that's when he started to really heat up and see the ball. And then you saw the average and all the numbers, slugging, OPS, everything just went up. And it became another MVP kind of season when you looked at the numbers. So that's what's so perplexing about this is you go, all right, he was hitting at a high clip, and then we get into this series, and he's cooled off. He's going to be fine, guys. It's Joe Patrick, our Braves insider. Can we talk about how good Tyler Matzek has been? Can we talk about how consistent Tyler Matzek has been for this bullpen? I don't know if everybody realizes this, but Snickers used him in every game this postseason. Six. And you start saying that's unusual, because normally, Joe, you don't go to a guy that frequently, but Matzek, he's just been money.
Unbelievable. And the thing that Brian Snicker says that he loves about him so much is exactly what you were just saying with him pitching every game. He says every time they want to put Matzik down, you know, just, you know, we're putting you down today. We're not pitching you. Matzik will inevitably knock on his door, poke his head into the office, you know, a couple hours before the game and saying, I'm pitching today. I'm ready to pitch. Put me in there. And that's exactly the kind of attitude that I think Brian Snicker in particular really loved. I mean, that's the same kind of attitude that Freddie Freeman has, a guy who wants to play every day. Now, you can argue whether that's actually good for the player, good for the team, and all that stuff. But I think that just having that mentality of wanting the ball, wanting to have control is huge. And especially for a guy like Tyler Matzik, it's just a great story of him being out of baseball just a few years ago, you know, had the yips, essentially, and couldn't throw the ball over the plate, despite being a guy who was a high pedigree draft pick earlier in his career. So to see him go from that stage to the point where he is now, where guys can't touch him, I honestly think he's one of the best relievers in all of baseball, and he's showing that right now just with the velocity that he's throwing. He's touching 99 now, and that just wipeout slider that he's got, he can be that kind of guy who gets those big strikeouts for you, who can come in and inherit runners and get out of those jams because of the stuff that he's got. You just can't say enough about the guy. And honestly, the whole bullpen in general, the whole bullpen has been absolutely incredible. I mean, in game two, they only gave up one hit pitching the final six innings of that game. Granted, they put a lot of runners on base, but they are just, you know, it just shows the stuff that these guys have going right now, and they're fooling Dodgers hitters. So you just have to hope that that can kind of carry forward into L.A. for them.
Yeah, Matzik did walk bats, and of course, once he gets on base, things start rolling. Then, you know, Luke Jackson inherited that, and he got a little haywire. But you're right, Matzik.
That was one hit he gave up. Yep.
Any time that he does struggle, he always bounces back, to Carl's point. It is our man, Jason. I said Jason. Joe Patrick. Jason Longshore is our buddy, too. But it's our man, Joe Patrick, brought to you by Jersey Mike's, guys. Be a sub above our Braves insider. So about the lineup, Rosario, by the way, how much credit does Snicker deserve in throwing him at the top of the lineup and the results we've got in the first two games?
Huge. No, I got to say, you know, coming into this series, coming into this playoffs, you know, you identify potential weaknesses on your team, and you think that one is probably the bullpen of any of the areas. You know, the team was hitting well, the starting pitching was good. Maybe the bullpen was the question mark. The bullpen has been absolutely the best part of this team so far. But I also think, you know, there's a lot of talk about Brian Snicker, and, you know, can he make the tactical decisions in games that give his team a chance to win? And I think that he has managed this postseason beautifully. And I even would say, like, even something like pulling Ian Anderson after the third inning of that game, I think it's a gutsy move to do something like that, but I think it was the right move. I think that he saw how good his bullpen is pitching and would rather rely on that than trying to, you know, stretch Ian Anderson and maybe potentially things getting worse for him both in that game, and then that could carry over into his confidence later on. So I think that Brian Snicker is actually doing a wonderful job. And yeah, you mentioned it with Eddie Rosario, putting him up at the top of the order. He's been a total kind of spark plug for this team, obviously with the four hits in game two and including that walk-off winner. Absolutely incredible stuff from Rosario in this series, and credit to Snit for having the cojones to put him up there at the top of the order and let him do his thing.
Joe, can we do this? Can we go up 3-0? If we go up 3-0, I mean, you talk about now, it would be an all-timer. Guys, there's only one team in postseason history ever that's come back from 03. It's the Red Sox in 04 that did it. One team. So if we do it, Joe, now you're talking about unbelievable odds as far as the Dodgers and trying to overcome. Can we do it?
Yeah, and that's why this game is so important, because of what you just said. I mean, it could really just swing the series completely for the Braves if they're able to get that win. Because not only do you obviously take the 3-0 win and you just got to win one of the next five games or whatever, but the Dodgers would have to press in every single game. They'd have to throw the kitchen sink at you. And eventually that is just going to come back and bite you. You know, it's just hard to have that be sustainable for you and to come back in a series like that. I mean, if you look at a seven-game series historically in Major League Baseball, you know, the team that takes the 2-0 lead in them wins them 87% of the time. The last team that let that lead slip was the Braves back last year in this same series. But I think that is the reason why they – I don't know if they're going to win this game necessarily, but I think that they're going to win this series because of the experience they had last year. I mean, in game two in the post-game press conference, yes, guys were excited. They were happy to win and all that, especially Eddie Rosario talking to the media. But from Brian Snicker specifically, there was very much a feeling of keeping a level head, not getting too high, like we're just celebrating, like we just won the pennant or something. They know that there's still work ahead of them, and they know that because of what happened to them last year. So as disappointed as we all were with how last year kind of shaped up after such a promising start to that series, I think that experience is going to help this team this year where they have a much better setup in terms of their starting pitching and everything. I think that's really just going to benefit them, and I think that that's why the Braves will end up winning this series. I'll say that. I don't know. This game is going to be so important because you have two starting pitchers that both have pressure on them to go deep in this game and give their bullpens a little bit of rest. It's going to be a fascinating pitching matchup in this one. You got to watch out for the shadows during an afternoon game that's going to come play in. If a team can get out, jump it, and grab an early lead early in this game, that's going to be hugely important.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.